Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20, touchdown, Chris.
Bro, let me tell you what happened. I make that I drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the cracker later?
Freeze.
First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on to New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Thursday night, and as you guys know, another edition of the Simple Sports Wrap here on Ship Show Radio, only on blogtalkradio.com. Got about an hour with you guys today. Got a lot to talk about. A lot of sports going on right now. No NFL, but every other sport's really hot right now. NBA, it's amazing how fast the season went. It's over next Wednesday. It's about 6 days left of basketball before the playoffs start. MLB's, heating up, and obviously the NHL is in the playoffs, which, you know, is always interesting. Just kicking off, obviously, with some top news. Last week, Heat fell to the Bulls. Crucial game for them. Obviously, they really haven't had the first seed all year long. With the absence of Rose the past 2-3 weeks even, the Bulls have been winning, and the Heat have been winning games, too. But just the Bulls have been playing good enough, and we just haven't had enough to overcome record-wise. We lost 96-86. We had the game won. Rose 1-13. T.J. Watson hitting a three-pointer with 2 seconds left, forcing OT. After LeBron missed one of the two free throws, which, you know, that never turns out to be good. So Bulls won that one. But it is not over. The Heat still have a chance to get that number one seed. And I'll talk about that later on in the show. The Zen Man captured his second straight fantasy basketball championship last week. Sunday night, I won it. It is my third victory in 4 years. My top players this year for the Zen Man, number one, CP3. Number two, Andrew Bynum, especially of late. I think he had a 30-rebound game during my championship. Tyson Chandler, Steve Nash was number three, just balling with assists. Tyson Chandler, number four, just kind of a grinded-out guy, leading the league in field goal percentage and obviously getting a lot of rebounds, steals, blocks. Those all added to a lot of points. And I couldn't choose how to pick number five. I just put a tie. Both Carlos Boozer and Joakim Noah, the Bulls bigs, they really stepped it up to this year. A lot of rebounds. Noah, kind of off and on, but he had a lot of big games for me. A lot of high rebounds, high steals, high blocks. And my team ended up winning the fantasy championship. So, obviously, good for me. I mentioned Gerald Wallace, too. He had the highest point game all year for me. Yeah, I think it was 107 points one game. Fantasy baseball did start it on ESPN.com. Was going to restart the league of last year, which I was not the commish, but we couldn't get enough players this year, so I had to take control and start my own league. Last year, I did a $200 buy-in. Top three payout, I finished fourth. It's a rough loss. But this year, I decided to do my own. About 10 people, $100 buy-in. Last year, I was lucky enough to grab Curtis Granderson in the sixth round. He actually led AL in RBIs and runs, second at home runs, had a beast year. This year, I drafted Longoria in the first round and Teixeira. We'll see how my team does. But that's my fantasy update for the Zen Man. Moving on to the NFL draft is going to be next week on Thursday, the 26th. Suspicion of number one, number two. Really, it's getting lower and lower every year. We already know who the first two picks are pretty much going to be. It's going to be Andrew Luck and RG3. Colts with the first pick. Definitely going to get Luck. There really has not been any change of that news for like 6 months now. Let's see. RG3 will definitely go second to Redskins. Redskins trading up earlier last month to get the number two pick, and they'll be picking RG3 for sure. And Ryan Tannehill, which the first two picks are quarterbacks, we'll see where Ryan Tannehill, who is definitely the third best quarterback in the draft, we'll see where he goes. The Dolphins are predicted to get him at the eighth pick. We'll see if he falls that low. But he's the one that nobody knows, so it's still going to be an interesting first round. I'll give you the top 30 prediction from the expert, Mel Kiper Jr. So NFL starting to get back in the news pretty quickly. MLB news, San Francisco Giants all-star closer Brian Wilson to face season-ending surgery on his elbow. San Francisco reports Giants closer Brian Wilson is likely headed for surgery on his right elbow after MRI revealed structural damage and an issue with the ligament. And his season could be in jeopardy. That was the quote last week. He's pretty much done for the season now. I did pick him in my draft, but looks like I already dropped him. So he's done for the year. It's a big blow to them. That team's all about pitching. Lincecum, who obviously is their ace, has not been playing well. ERA over 10. Now, Matt Cain has definitely played very well. And a good sign for them. I said he was a record deal. Most ever paid for a pitcher in baseball history. And it looks like it's paying off. We'll see if they can fill the giant void left with Brian Wilson on the injured reserve all year. But he'll be back next year. I'm sure he'll be stronger than this year. So we'll see how that affects the team. The Saints, big news. Workouts are starting. And one, Sean Payton cannot make any contact with the coaching staff or the players any more than just saying hello or congratulations. Like they said earlier, you know, Drew Brees expecting a child any time, and if, you know, Sean Payton wanted to call up and congratulate him, that's no problem. But other than that, no communications with the team. So much that I don't know, so much that we don't know. Obviously, it's a giant mess down there in New Orleans, and Drew Brees, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, record-setting year last year with the most passing yards ever. And, you know, he hasn't signed yet. So we'll see how big this whole thing is. There was talk, obviously, talked about a couple shows ago, how the Saints weren't the only team that was kind of suspicious of doing this, you know, the bounty system, hurting players. So we'll see how serious Drew Brees takes this, or if he's even against the Saints. You know, I mean, Drew Brees is definitely a class guy. Is he going to re-sign with these guys? Obviously, he wants the money. He loves the Saints. But there's obviously some question with the mess going on. Hardest schedules in the NFL. Not completely the hardest, but the biggest change in difficulty. So I can't see how they're going to have a good year. Atlanta, still a good team. They're getting better. The Carolina Panthers, this could be a lot for them, too. So we'll see how the division unravels this year, but the Saints just not looking good to me. Rory McIlroy is now the number one player in the world in golf, passing Luke Donald. Tiger not really that close. So Rory McIlroy is now the number one player in golf. And as promised, I had to last. I hate when I get confused, but it does happen. Last week, I was very, very confused about the AL-NL deal with the Astros. Two divisions in the NL have five teams, but the NL Central has six teams. And the AL, both divisions have five teams, but the AL West only has four teams. So, obviously, kind of uneven. But the Astros were supposedly going to move to the AL West, making all the divisions five teams. And I thought that already happened, and it wasn't showing on the internet, but that'll happen next year. So next year, there will be, instead of two even-numbered leagues, 16 and 14, there will be two odd-numbered leagues, 15 and 15. But everything will be even, which, you know, I think is more fair. But what that does, number of teams, it's impossible. Since everybody plays every day, there will have to be an AL versus NL matchup every week. And then, of course, there'll be, I'm sure, the, you know, the all-around interleague plays throughout the season. But I just had to clear that up. That was the first thing I looked after. I looked up after my show last week. So sorry for the confusion. Big news today. Obviously, so much going on with Dwight Howard and Stan Van Gundy. Dwight Howard, like I said last week, he is done for the season with just back problems. 50-50 chance that he even plays in the playoffs. But now, every time reports come out about Stan Van Gundy and Dwight Howard denies that it even happened. But now it says that Dwight Howard called owner Rich DeVos and tells him that he won't play for Stan Van Gundy anymore. But if he is healthy by the playoffs, I don't know if that means. I'm sure they'll both have to play. But next year, that could definitely spell the end for Stan Van Gundy. You know, you can replace him. You can't replace Dwight Howard. So if Dwight asks for him to get fired, or, you know, it's basically what he is asking, then I'm sure Van Gundy will be out the door in 5 seconds. So Howard and the Magic, this doesn't look good for them. Big news, Pat Summitt retires this week. The longtime Tennessee head coach for women's college basketball. And I will bring more stats about her at the stat of the week. I figure that's a good time to honor Pat Summitt and her incredible career coaching for the Lady Vols. And just two other things to talk about. Curtis Granderson had a huge game today. 4 innings into the Twins-Yankees game, he had 3 home runs in the first 4 innings. And also the Florida Panthers got whooped today, 4-0. But they did well, winning 1 of 2 on the road trip. And they go back home on Saturday, 6:30 o'clock game. They now have home field back, and the series is tied 2-2. I'll get more on that in just a second. Let's talk about a little bit about hockey. And just really quick before I get into my hockey talk, I am expecting Nancy Ortega to call in today. She is a good friend, and I just found out she might possibly be a bigger sports fan than me, which always leaves me lost in thought. And she goes to all these games every day. She's at a different sporting event. She's been to Panthers games, Heat games, and we'll see if she calls in. I would love to pick her brain about how she goes to all these games. I watch all the games, but I'm usually never there. So we'll see. I just wanted to learn a little bit about that. I always respect fellow Heat, Marlins, Dolphins fans. And we'll see if she calls in later. And let's talk about hockey really quick. Just talk about the games going on today. Right now, St. Louis at San Jose. And it is St. Louis 1, San Jose 0, 12:48 in the first. It is now in the first, excuse me, after I refresh. It's 1-0 St. Louis over San Jose. Also going on, see, 3 finals already today. Like I mentioned, Florida getting blown out by New Jersey. Close game. Quiet first period, which never happens in the series or hasn't happened yet. New Jersey getting a goal in the second, and then 3 in the third to put it away. Boston and Washington. Washington winning 2-1. And the other final today, Chicago-Phoenix. Phoenix winning on the road in overtime, 3-2. Number 8 seed in the West, almost winning yesterday to sweep the series from the number 1 seed. That has never happened before in the history of NHL playoffs. And it did it. Vancouver hung out to win. So the series is now 3-1 LA. Number 7 seed, San Jose, down to St. Louis. St. Louis up 2-1 and leading in game 4 today. Chicago and Phoenix. Phoenix, number 3 seed, and they are up 3-1 in the series after their win today. Nashville and Detroit, the 5-4 matchup. Nashville is up 3-1. Going to the East, Ottawa, number 8 seed, at Rangers, the number 1 seed, the powerhouse. And the series is now tied 2-2 after the impressive overtime victory last night.
Boston and Washington.
Tied 2-2. The Devils and the Panthers. Panthers had an impressive couple games. Losing the first game, then they won their first playoff game at home. And then they had an impressive game 3, down 3-0 in the first period well, I think it was 6 or 7 minutes in. But the Panthers scoring two more in that period to close the gap 3-2, and then two more in the second period, and they held on to a 4-3 win, losing today with the series now tied 2-2, heading back. It's a seven-game series, and two of the next three are at home. We do have a caller on the air. Hello, caller. You're now live with the Zen Man.
Hey, Tyler. It's Nancy.
Hey, Nancy. What's going on? I told the listeners that you might be calling in today, and I'm glad you did. We are in the middle of hockey, but I'm not expecting you to know anything about hockey. But I don't know that much about it, to be honest with you. But I did want to pick your brain about South Florida sports. Whether you know more about it than I do, I'm not sure. You're definitely
I'm super excited about that heat that just happened.
Yeah, we're all excited about that. I haven't talked about it just yet, but nope. We'll get into it right now if you want. First thing, well, let's talk about the Heat game. What were your thoughts on it? Do you think that Heat
so
have
much
enough?
Drama. So much drama, so many fouls.
Yeah, no question.
But I'm glad that we won after that last game that we lost in overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a hard one.
At least we got the win at home.
Yeah, we're pretty good at home, which is why I've been dying to get the home field advantage. It's looking kind of slim, but there is hope for the Heat. The Bulls only have two games left, but if they lose against the Pacers and the Heat went out against their next three, which is Washington, Houston, and Boston, then we will have the number one seed. So
yeah, that Celtics game on Saturday. That Celtics game on Saturday is going to be tough.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if Boston's going to have much to play for at that time, but definitely the Boston I'm a little worried about in the playoffs. They're a good team. They're not as strong as us, but, you know, they're fighting and they have a lot of experience. So Rondo, he's awesome. So
hopefully we'll have Chris Bosh back.
I believe we will have him back, yeah. It's definitely hard, tough missing him. But at least we had D-Wade back in the lineup, so that was good.
True. And that we didn't have Rose playing with the Bulls.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have been a good thing for them or not. He's been kind of rusty, but they got to get him back in the lineup for the playoffs. I guess he can get back in the lineup first, his first series, I suppose. But if they end up playing the Knicks or something like that, it's kind of a tough team. So he probably needs to start playing soon. They only got two games left in the regular season. So that might be a big factor in the playoffs for the Bulls.
And
they're playing well without him.
Awesome. And Chalmers is doing awesome.
He is doing awesome. But let's get into – I just wanted to ask you a few questions. It just seems like you are at every game that you could possibly go to. Let's talk about the Heat, first of all. You seem to be at every game. Do you have season tickets, or what's the deal with that?
No, I guess people assume that because I'm there, I guess every time I'm there, they win. So they want me to be there, so they give me promo tickets to go.
Promo tickets? Who gives you promo tickets?
Superstitious people.
Superstitious people. God, you should tell them that every time the Zen Man shows up, they win. Yeah, that works out. But that's awesome. Yeah, I've only been to a few games myself. They're expensive, but yeah, I'm a little jealous about that. It's pretty awesome. I see you're at like every game, and I'm just in the locker room, although that was a fake picture. But you're always just, in and out with cheerleaders and everything. Definitely pretty cool, pretty cool. But I even noticed that you're at the Panthers hockey game the other day. Are you a big Panthers
fan,
or
exciting.
How did you win?
No. That was actually my first Panthers game, but it was a good game to go to. Everybody throwing the rats on the ice and stuff.
Yeah, they have a lot of weird little things that they do for hockey as well. But have you always been a diehard South Florida fan? I mean, that's the way I do it. I'm rooting for all. I don't really like college too much, but the four sports.
Yeah, I think I'm
South Florida.
I think I'm more into like college football and basketball more than anything. Yeah, I just feel the fans are more rowdier.
Rowdier? No, they definitely are. I don't know why people get into. I never liked college too much. I didn't think the seedings and everything was fair. And at the same time, you have all these fans. I don't even know how you pick a team. I mean, if you didn't go to Miami for college, how are you a
fan
of them?
Yeah, no. I think that everybody should go for their own home team.
Right. Well, that's true.
When people don't go for their own school, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it. You drove all the way up, I guess, to see the Panthers game. They play at the Bank Atlantic Center, if I'm not mistaken. And How far of a drive was that? I was assuming that might have been a rush hour. I don't know.
Like
I was thinking
good,
maybe an
yeah,
hour.
Like a good 40 minutes, yeah. 40 minutes to an hour.
Yeah. Hopefully it was worth it. I've been to a couple.
Super packed.
How cold was it?
Oh, yeah. It was like in the 70s.
did you dress appropriately?
Yeah, I had to take a sweater.
That's good. That's good. but hopefully it's a lot of people, so at least got a lot of body heat, I guess, to warm you up. But just talking about the Miami Marlins, how many games have you been to so far?
I've been to the arena to the stadium maybe like 5 times now.
5 times? How many home games have they played? Like 7?
Yeah,
five?
I have, so but I can... prior to the game starting, I took a couple tours. So I've been to maybe 2 games. 2 actual games.
Not bad. Oh, that's true. Yeah, you went to a couple of the pre-games versus the college teams.
I recommend getting actual seats. Like, I went to the Clevelander, and you can't really hear the game when you're sitting in those seats because the music's too loud. But if you really want to watch the game, I wouldn't recommend sitting at the Clevelander.
Well, my question to you, actually, I had that thought watching the game. I went to the opening game. I actually have my own 20-game season ticket plan. If I had to choose, my favorite sport is baseball, but the Heat, obviously, you know, right there. I'm a huge diehard fan of all the South Florida teams. If the Clevelander is in left field, like the home run fence, right?
Right. I almost caught the first home run ball there. It was crazy. I just didn't want to get hit in the face and fight with the men that were trying to catch it too.
Now, that's my 2 questions I want to ask you. One, what if you're just sitting having a drink and a home run ball, like, just hits your table? Is that possible? Do they have any kind of protection?
There's a fence, but it obviously goes over the fence and people catch the balls. No protection. You have your drink and you can catch the ball with your cup.
I imagine drinks are pretty expensive, so I don't know if I want to run a drink, but
my
other question
is $10 to $13 a drink or so.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But so what's the deal? You don't have to buy a ticket, you just go in there, or do you have to pay a cover fee to get in there to watch the game?
Well, you can either do like standing room, which is like $25. Or you can do the seating, which will run from like $50 to $100, depending on, you know, who they're playing. But they usually have them available. You can just walk up to the box office before a game.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm still getting used to it. But I'm not sure when the next game I'm going to, but it's kind of a set schedule for me. But I was pretty impressed with the stadium myself. Just that there's no walls between the concessions and the seats. It was kind of all open, so you can, you know, sit there in line and kind of look over. And that's pretty cool. I like it so far.
Nice.
But Marlins doing pretty good. I'll obviously get into my MLB later on the show. But I believe they're now 9-7.
It was like 6 games or 7 games won?
Yeah, we've won a lot in a row, actually. We just swept the Cubs.
Yeah.
So that's good. So that's cool. I just definitely wanted to get into your head about that. Now, my one question is, are you a big Dolphins fan?
Not so much.
How many games did you go to?
No, I didn't go to that many. No, I didn't go. I went maybe to like 2 of them.
2 games?
Yeah.
It was more than me, though.
They were losing too much.
That's cool. And I have all these questions for you. Man, I'm just dying for you to get on the show. I saw you had a close-up of Dwayne Wade. And I think you were on the court, one of those pictures. Did you just arrive to the arena early? Is that how you got so close?
It was actually after when he was doing the interview with the commenters that he was just sitting
nice,
on the
nice.
Yeah. But I have a friend, Tina, and she's like a huge fan, and she asked me 2 years ago, if you ever run into D-Wade, I'm going to kill you if you don't say something for me. So I recorded him saying, you know, thanks for being a big fan, Tina, for her, and sent it to her. So she's like in love with her
awesome.
Video.
Cool. That's cool. I just wanted to get you on the air for about 10 minutes. I pretty much asked you as much as I need to. Do you have any final thoughts, any questions you want to ask the Zen Man?
Go Heat.
Always allow Heat shout-outs. Always feel free to do that. But yes, Heat won. I'll be getting into the box score a little later. And that's really all I wanted to talk to you about. Just wanted to pick your brain a little bit. I was really fascinated about the amount of games you go to. I think it's awesome. Jealous, but happy for you. I can be honest about that. And,
thanks for having me on the show, Tyler.
Always. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nancy. All right, just continuing on with my NHL. I'm not really sure where I left off with that. I was going through the series and how they were shaping up. Devils Panthers are tied at 2 games apiece. Florida regaining the home field advantage with Game 3 win. Losing today, but no big deal. We have the home field now. It's a Game 7, or a 7-game series, so we just got to win two of the next three, but two of the next three are at home, so hopefully that plays a big factor. And the final series is Philly at Pittsburgh. Philly, the number 5 team, playing at the number 4 team, but Philly winning the first 3 games before Pittsburgh winning Game 4 decisively. 10 goals for them, I believe it was a 10-3 win for the Penguins. As you know, throughout sports, being down 3-0 in a game, a 7-game series is very tough to come back in, and doesn't happen very often. We'll see if Pittsburgh can do that. Hockey is one of those games, sports where it's very competitive, but with low-scoring games, anything can happen. It's not like it's kind of like a baseball, too. It's not a size advantage or speed. It's really just chemistry and how you're playing, and we'll just see if Pittsburgh can win. Obviously, they have the best player in the world, Sidney Crosby. So, and they're Malkin. They have a lot of good players. Pittsburgh, we'll see if they can come back to that 3-0 deficit. Moving throughout the schedule tomorrow, let's see what we got going on. 2 games tomorrow, 7:30, the Penguins, Flyers at Penguins, 7:30 tip off. And at 8 o'clock, Detroit at Nashville. So Nashville going for the series win, and the Flyers going for a series win tomorrow. We'll see how that plays out. Moving on to the weekend Saturday. 5 games on Saturday, Washington and Boston at 3 o'clock. The Panthers and the Devils kicks off at 6:30. At 7 o'clock, Ottawa and the New York Rangers. At 7:30, it'll be San Jose, St. Louis. And at 10 o'clock, it'll be Chicago at Phoenix. So those are your schedules for the weekend. I'd move on to Sunday, but a couple of these game series could end, so we don't know what Sunday has in store for us. But that is my hockey update. And you know what time it is. Yep, it is time for the Southernmost Sports Trap Stat of the Week. And I wasn't going all crazy with you guys today. It was more of a honorable stat of the week, and this one's going out to Pat Summit. Still a research on her, seeing how she did throughout her career. Like I said earlier, she is retiring, and I thought it was fascinating when looking at the stats for Pat Summit. She's been just nothing but a coach for Tennessee, the Lady Vols. Born June 14th, 1952, in Clarksville, Tennessee, 38 years as a head coach for Tennessee. You look at all these players and coaches, and they've been everywhere. She's been with one team for 38 seasons, never had a losing season in 38 years. Her career record, 1,098 and 208. That is a .841 wins-loss percentage. That's pretty good, almost 85% for 38 years. That's excellent. 8 national titles, 87, 89. 91, 96, 97, 98, 2007, and 2008. The winningest coach in NCAA history, men's or women's. Just can't say enough of what she's done for the game. And it's definitely going to be sad to see her go. I don't know if we're ever going to see anybody replace her at Tennessee, but definitely an excellent career for her. And what she's done for college basketball is unmatched. So it's sad that she is retiring from the game. And it's time to get into a little basketball. As usual, since it is Thursday, not too many games going on, but they're very important games. 5 games on tonight. 4 finals. The only game going on right now is the one I'm watching here on TNT. Crucial game for both teams. Phoenix hosting the Clippers. Phoenix currently up 44-43 with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Suns battling for that 8th seed, and the Clippers battling for that 3rd seed, which they are a half game behind the Lakers for that. The other finals today, New Orleans beating Houston in overtime, 105-99, a bad loss to Houston. They're in the battle with the Jazz and the Suns for the 8th seed. So to lose to a team like the Hornets, not good. I don't see them making the playoffs. The other final, which we talked about a little bit, the Miami Heat beating the Bulls, 83-72. Good game for them. Very interesting game. A lot of weird fouls. James Jones ejected in the first quarter. I believe it was the first quarter, early second quarter, for just a hard foul. I have to say it looked intentional, but, you know, for a guy that probably weighs 180 pounds, I don't know how hard he could have hit Noah. He's not really that kind of player. I was really upset that they went to the replay and decided to give a flagrant 2, and he was ejected. So just thought it was kind of a nonsense, but he was out for the game, ejected with a flagrant 2. And it was a little chippy, but you got to expect that to battle. I mean, these are the two teams in the East, you know, big rivalry now. So the Heat pulled off the victory. Like I said, obviously after the last loss for Chicago last week, it seemed kind of slim that we would get the first seed. But now with this victory, 3 games left for the Heat, 2 games left for the Bulls. And, you know, it's a scenario now. Heat have to win out, and Bulls have to lose against Indiana. I suppose the Heat could lose one game. They really didn't say they could lose one game, and I guess Chicago could lose both of their games. But it's all tiebreaker scenarios now. Head-to-head is tied at 2-2. The next thing they go out is conference. Or excuse me, the next thing they do, actually I heard, was winning percentage, or record versus playoff teams. So Mavericks obviously not in the Eastern Conference playoffs, so that a loss there wouldn't mean anything. And they would need to lose against the Pacers, which are in the playoffs, for that record to decrease, and then the Heat would then have a better record for the against the Eastern Conference playoff opponents. That's how it's working this year. So that's what's got to happen. So basically, just look at it this way. Heat aren't going to – I mean, they have to win out. So Chicago's going to lose their last game of the year, which is next Wednesday against the Pacers. Minnesota and Detroit, I'm glad to see Minnesota win. Just, you know, obviously with the injuries, haven't had a great year, but they're definitely on the rise. I see them, you know, next couple of years being good. Can't say enough about Kevin Love and his MVP season. They just, you know, you can't win MVP when the team doesn't do that well. But obviously, none of these games mean anything for the playoffs. Milwaukee at Indiana. Indiana winning 118-109. Milwaukee's done. They're still, I think they're still mathematically in it, but they're done. They were the only team outside of the playoffs that had a shot to make it. And it's pretty much, it ends it for them this loss. Interesting enough, Milwaukee actually beat the Heat twice this year, but not going to make the playoffs. Just really quick, want to recap the Heat Bulls. Just looking at the box score here. For the Bulls, not too much going on. Top scorer was actually off the bench, Lucas. Your starters, Joakim Noah, 15 points. Boozer, 10. Wall Deng, 11. Hamilton, only 6 points. And CJ Watson, 2 points. Leading rebounder was Noah with 10. Really not too much other stats over there. For the Heat, your leading scorer was LeBron James, 27 points. Had 11 rebounds and 6 assists, just adding to his MVP year. Haslam started 6 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist. Dexter Pittman started as well, 4 points, 7 rebounds. Wade, 18 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. And Chalmers with 16 points, 2 assists, and 2 rebounds for him. That's your box score for the Heat. As a team, the Heat shot 42%, 30% from downtown, and 71% from the free throw line, 45 rebounds, and let's see if they out-rebounded the Bulls, and they did, 45-40. So an all-around good game. Turnovers, Bulls had one more than the Heat, 13-12. The Heat's problem all year has been rebounding, and they – you know, he showed they had less turnovers, more rebounds today, and that's what won the game for him. So I also composed just a quick little scenario sheet. The five teams here, excuse me, I looked at seven teams left for the regular season. There's three important spots being fought over right now. The number one seed in the East, number one seed in the West, and the number eight seed in the West. Let me show the standings real quick and bring that up for you guys. In the West, Chicago 47-16, the Heat now 1.5 games back, but I already showed you their scenario. Indiana 6 back, Boston 10 back, Atlanta 9.5, Orlando 10.5 back, New York 13.5 back, so they're 3 back from Orlando, and Philadelphia is 14.5 back, 1 back of the 7th-seeded New York Knicks, and Milwaukee now 3 games back of the number 8 seed. Like I said, they're pretty much done. In the West, Antonio does have the number 1 seed. They're a half game up on the Oklahoma City, one up in the loss column, same amount of wins. They've won 5 in a row. So we'll see if Oklahoma City, who's, like I said, one more loss than them, can regain that first seed that they've had pretty much all year long. The Lakers, number 3, they're 6 back of San Antonio, and they're battling now with the Clippers, who are now a half game back of them. Same losses, so we'll see who can get the number 3rd seed. Battle of the Staples Center teams. Memphis is kind of all alone there. They should have the number 5 seed wrapped up. They're 8.5 back. They're 2 back in the 4th seed, and they're 2.5 up on Dallas, the number 6 seed. Dallas at number 6, 35-28. They're at 6 seed now. I see them staying that way. Denver a half game back, but I think Dallas is a stronger team. And so Denver at number 7 at 34-28. Like I said, a half game back from Dallas. Utah at the number 8 seed. They're 2.5, a game and a half from Denver. But more importantly, they're a half game up on Phoenix, who's playing right now. So if Phoenix can win, they'll be tied again. I believe Phoenix holds a tiebreaker. Not 100% sure on that. But looking at the first seed in the East, here's the remaining games for the Heat. They do not play tomorrow. They play Saturday against Washington, Sunday against the Rockets, both at home. And then the last game of the season is Tuesday at Boston. You know, that sounds like a tough game, but in the last game of the season, we'll see if Boston needs to even really play that. They're obviously with their old team. They might need to rest their players. Bulls had 2 games left tomorrow against the Mavericks. 3 days off, and then at Indiana on Wednesday. So that's a good big game for the Heat if they can lose at Indiana. It's possible. Indiana's definitely a good team. Spurs and the Thunder battling for that number seed in the West. So I showed you San Antonio's up half game. Tomorrow both play. Spurs at home against the Lakers. Thunder at Sacramento. Both are off Saturday. At Sunday, the Spurs play at home against the Cavs, and the Thunder play at the Lakers. Monday, the Spurs play at home against Portland. Tuesday, the Thunder play at home against Sacramento. And on Wednesday, the last game of the season, Spurs play at Phoenix, and the Thunder play at home against Denver. And for that all-important AC in the West, the Suns have 3 games left. Saturday, they host Denver. Tuesday, they play at the Jazz, and Wednesday, they host the Spurs. The Rockets play 2 more games Saturday and Sunday, and they're done. They host the Warriors, and then they play at the Heat. But the Rockets, that's a tough schedule, and they lost today against New Orleans. They're just not playing good. They're not going to have a shot here. And the Jazz currently have the 8th seed, have 2 games left. They host the Magic, and then they host Phoenix for their last game, so that's a huge game as well. So we'll see how that shapes up. Like I said, final game is Wednesday, so Thursday I'll know how the standings are looking 100%, and we'll have a lot to talk about then. And really quickly, your point leaders, it looks like it's going to be Kobe Bryant. He has a 0.3 points lead over Kevin Durant for the scoring leader. We'll see if he holds on to that. 0.3 is not a lot, but with only a couple games left, it is. So it looks like Kobe's going to get the scoring champion. LeBron 3rd, Kevin Love 4th, Russell Westbrook 5th. Rebounds, Dwight Howard's got it wrapped up, 14.5 a game. Kevin Love, definitely an impressive year for him, 13.3 a game. Bynum at number 3, DeMarcus Cousins at number 4, and Chris Humphreys at number 5. For assists, Rajon Rondo averaging 11.6 per game, Nash 10.8, Chris Paul 9, Jose Calderon 8.8, and Deron Williams 8.7. So those are your stat leaders for the year. Shouldn't move too much from there. Got about 15 minutes left. Just really quickly, let's move on to our top three plays. Actually, this is all going to be a Heat top three. We'll see what I have in store. And let's get it kicking off right now. Here's number 3. This is your top three play on the Syllable Sports Wrap. Let's see what it is.
Down here in South Florida. Here is Chalmers. LeBron. Dropping the sledgehammer. Coming in. What beautiful passing by the Miami Heat. Also LeBron.
That was actually today. Thank you for somebody already uploading it on YouTube. Like 15 minutes after it happened. LeBron, nice pass to Udonis for the sledgehammer dunk. Here is my number 2 play of the week.
Kick out for Cole. Hard dart to the rim. Can't get it. James is there for the follow. Can't hit the 3. Green tapped it over to Anthony. The cut by James. The banker is good. And a foul. Humphreys pump. Humphreys jumper. No. Green gets up in the air, but he can't corral it.
Somebody's got to stop the ball.
It's Morrow who draws the assignment. James. He just
takes advantage.
James with a head of steam to the hoop. LeBron James
gets to the basket.
James runs into Green. James keeps going. Fade away. He buries it. LeBron James has given Miami a 3-point.
That was his great game against the Nets. Probably shouldn't have gone that far. But at New Jersey, Wade and Bosch out. LeBron had 17 straight points to close the game out. We didn't have a lead till with seconds remaining. About 30 seconds left, we got the lead, and LeBron just took over. Always good to see him doing some clutch plays and definitely earning at least my top 2 spot on this week's top 3 plays of the Simple Sports Wrap. And here is number 1. It is from the Raptors game a couple nights ago.
Johnson going on for 14 for Toronto, and all of them have been scored here in the second quarter. But Johnson has as many points as LeBron.
And Chalmers dribbled right into a steal. Nice work by Johnson, who gave it up to Forbes at a perfect time. So Gary Forbes with 4 points. Here comes James through 2 defenders. Got the bucket, and he beat the clock. And the Heat was like a 2.
Just a great play. They ended up blowing out the Raptors, but that was an awesome play. Right before the half, just a Dan Marino-like pass. In 2.5 seconds, they were able to get the ball inbound and go full court, and LeBron swift move between 2 defenders. I got about 10 minutes left. There's 2 things I definitely want to talk to you guys about. First thing is, like I said, the draft, the NFL draft is coming up on Thursday, the 26th of this month. And who better to predict the top 30, two picks of the NFL than Mel Kiper Jr.? And here's how he predicted the top 30 to go. Look, number one pick, the Colts, Andrew Luck. Obviously, no surprise there. Number 2, well, the Redskins are going to get RG3. Obviously, not a surprise there. Now, number 3, Vikings are expected to pick offensive tackle from USC, Matt Khalil. At number 4, the Cleveland Browns, who could possibly get Ryan Tannehill, but they pick him to pick the all-star running back from Alabama, Trent Richardson, which will be a solid pick. At number 5, the Buccaneers looking to pick Morris Claiborne, quarterback out of LSU. At number 6, the St. Louis Rams looking to pick all-star wide receiver from Oklahoma State, Justin Blackmon. Number 7, the Jaguars expected to pick Melvin Ingram, defensive end for South Carolina. And at number 8, the Miami Dolphins. Hopefully they can pick the third best quarterback in the draft, Ryan Tannehill, quarterback out of Texas A&M. Obviously, the Dolphins need a quarterback. Let's take a chance on a rookie. We'll see what he can do. At number 9, the Panthers looking to pick Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle from Mississippi State. At number 10, the Buffalo Bills, Riley Reiff, offensive tackle from Iowa. They said they could possibly pick Michael Floyd, wide receiver from Notre Dame. Number 11, the Chiefs looks like they're going to possibly pick Luke Kulchi, linebacker from Boston College. Number 12, the Seahawks have the 12th pick, looking to pick Quinton Coples, defensive end from University of North Carolina. Number 13, the Cardinals, looking to pick Jonathan Martin, offensive tackle from Stanford, or possibly Michael Floyd, wide receiver from Notre Dame, or tackle Iowa, Riley Reiff, depending on obviously how the draft folds out in front of them. At number 14, the Cowboys, looking to pick safety, Mark Barron from Alabama. At number 15, the Philadelphia Eagles have the pick, and it looks like they were trying to get Luke Kuechly, if he's picked already, linebacker out of Boston College. They might go after Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Mississippi State. The New York Jets have the 16th pick. They're looking to get Courtney Upshaw, defensive end, linebacker from Alabama. At number 17, the Bengals have that pick, and they're trying to get David DeCastro, guard from Stanford. Number 18, the San Diego Chargers. They're trying to pick Cordy Glenn, tackle from Iowa, or if they can't get him, possibly Andre Branch, defensive end from Clemson. At number 19, the Chicago Bears have that pick. They're hoping to get Michael Floyd from wide receiver from Notre Dame if he's available. If not, Whitney Mercilus, defensive end from Illinois. At number 20, the Titans have that pick. I'm looking to pick Stephon Gilmore, cornerback from South Carolina. If not, possibly cornerback from Alabama, Dre Kirkpatrick. Bengals have another pick here, 21st pick. They're looking to possibly get Dre Kirkpatrick if he's available, cornerback from Alabama. At number 22, the Browns have their second pick of the first round, looking to pick Kendall Wright, wide receiver from Baylor, Cordy Glenn, tackle from Georgia, or possibly Jonathan Martin, tackle from Stanford. The Detroit Lions are trying to get Jonathan Martin from Stanford as well. Pittsburgh Steelers with the 24th pick, Dante Hightower, linebacker, Alabama. At 25, Denver Broncos trying to get Michael Brockers, defensive tackle, LSU. Houston Texans at the 26th pick, trying to get Kendall Wright, wide receiver, Baylor, or Stephon Hill, wide receiver for Georgia Tech. 27, they have the New England Patriots, and I guess they don't know. I don't know, that's weird. They have no consensus. So Mel Kiper, not sure who they're going to pick there. They don't know what they need a lot, so we'll see what they pick. But number 28, the Packers have looking to pick Shea McClellan, defensive end, Boise State. At 29, Baltimore Ravens, looking at center Peter Kahns from Wisconsin. At 30, the 49ers, Stephen Hill, wide receiver, Georgia Tech, or Kobe Fleener, tight end, Stanford. At 31, the Patriots, I guess they predict them at the 31st pick to get Gerald Worthy, defensive tackle for Michigan State. And at 32, the Giants, Kobe Fleener, tight end, Stanford. So obviously a lot of people late in that first round looking for Kobe Fleener to possibly be their pick. So number two, the top two picks will be that. We'll see how the rest of the draft unfolds. And just really quick, I have about 5 minutes left to try to wrap it up here pretty shortly. Little MLB, your finals today, 10-3, Texas over Detroit, Tampa Bay 9-4 over Toronto, Minnesota losing 7-6 to the Yankees, but winning that series 2-1, Houston at Washington winning 11-4, victory for Houston, Baltimore winning at the White Sox 5-3, Cincinnati beating St. Louis 6-3 in St. Louis, the Dodgers beating the Brewers 4-3 in Milwaukee. The Marlins winning another game 5-3 against the Cubs, sweeping the series. Seattle is currently on the top of the eighth. They're up 1-0 on Cleveland. Of the three games going on, Philly up 1-0 at San Diego. Oakland up 4-2 at LA Angels. And the Atlanta Braves up 7-2 against the Diamondbacks. That's in the bottom of the seventh in Arizona. And your series heading into the weekend, the Giants and Mets face off, Rangers-Tigers, Marlins-Nationals, Cardinals-Pirates, Twins-Rays, Dodgers-Astros, Rockies-Brewers. Blue Jays, Royals, Reds, Cubs, Orioles, Angels, Indians, Athletics, Phillies and Padres, Braves and Diamondbacks, White Sox, Mariners, and Yankees, Red Sox. So that's your series going into the weekend for MLB. I was going to talk about my standings and stats, but not as important, honestly, with only a week or two in this season. Those are all going to change a lot. So I'll definitely get more into that in the next few shows. But I just thought I'd move into my final thought really quick before I wrap it up. I decided to give you guys my honest opinion what I think the East and the West is going to look like in the NBA. You know, just because there's so many things to pick here and a lot of things can happen, probably not 100% correct, but this is how I feel it's going to end. And I will hold you to it next Thursday if I'm exactly correct. I know this sounds like a Miami fan, but I honestly think the Miami is going to win the number one seed. All they have to do is win out, which I know that sounds a lot, but three games, they're playing hot. They're going to beat Washington and Houston. Then you got to play one game at Boston. I think they win that game. Boston probably going to be resting players. And I think Chicago's going to lose at Indiana. Indiana's having a great year. They're the third best seed or team in the East. It's at Indiana. Chicago either going to be with Rusty Rose or, you know, without Rose. So if that happens, Miami will get the number one seed. So I have them the number one seed, Chicago number two, Indiana number three, Boston number four, the Hawks number five, the Magic number six, the Knicks at number seven, and the 76ers at number eight. For the West, I do think the Thunder will reclaim that first seed. I can't see the West going into the playoffs without the Thunder there. Although I know it can go either way, I think the Thunder will have the number one seed. The Spurs at number two. I think Clippers are going to overtake that third seed away from the Clippers or the Lakers, who will be I think will be the number four seed. The Grizzlies looking like they're going to get number five. The Mavericks should stay put at six. And at 7 and 8, I have the Nuggets at seven, and I think the Suns. Honestly, I mean, it's either going to be the Suns, Rockets, or Jazz. I already told you the Rockets are not going to get it. The Jazz could get it, but I think the Suns, I think they believe they do have the tiebreaker. One, two, I'm a huge Nash fan. So, one, I mean, I'm not being favoritism towards picking them at number eight, but I think with Nash now playing, I mean, he's a winner. I think he'll find a way to get that number eight seed. So that is my playoff predictions heading into the next show, which I will know for sure. Because the season ends on Wednesday. A lot of information tonight, guys, and I appreciate all my listeners. Just want to thank Nancy Ortega for calling in and giving me her insights on how she can get to all these games. Always good to see fellow diehard sports fans down here in South Florida. And really quickly, I just want to welcome back the Dread of Sports Talk now Tuesday nights. Make sure to join them. They were off for quite a while. They've had a couple shows since. Great show. Three great analysts there talking a lot of sports. So join them on Tuesday nights, and remember to join me next Thursday at 11 o'clock for another edition of the Sonoma Sports Wrap. With that, I'm going to say good luck to all your playoff teams for hockey, and good luck to all your teams heading into the end of the NBA season. And good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you guys next Thursday night.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20.